teach me how to do that. Anybody here enjoying the ragweed? So when the voice cracks, you'll know that I'm enjoying the ragweed also. It is driving me absolutely crazy. We didn't have ragweed in Virginia, amen? Y'all believe that? I hope not. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day, ragweed and all. We ask you to bless our time of continuing worship, for we have been blessed already by singing, by praying, by hearing your word read, by listening to music sung and played. So bless this time that we hear your word proclaimed. May we know that in your spirit we are one. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. How many single people do we have in the room? Non-married. Raise your hands. All right, if you're under the age of 20 and you're single, don't listen to the first part of this sermon. Okay, if you're over the age of 20, then you just listen on. We don't want Gracie to listen to this, so if you would cover her ears for the next few moments, that would be helpful. That would be a good thing. Mary Lynn and I, we were dating. We dated an extremely long period of time. We met in June and got married in November of the same year. It was the last week of June. I married November 5th. Amen. I know that. Pretty good, huh? Stand on the stage, brave enough to say what year I got married, what day I got married. So we've been married 33 years this November 5th. We followed the traditional way of getting married, amen. We eloped. Y'all did that right, you eloped. Eloped, everybody eloped. No, okay. They said it wouldn't last after we eloped, you know. When you elope, it's only going to last a month or two, right? In our case, it has lasted 33 years. I've wondered a couple occasions why it's lasted this long, because she's had to put up with me. And that's not easy, amen? And so, yeah, I hear that. But one of the things I learned early on in marriage is I was used to as an only child. How many only children in the room? Aren't we perfect people, amen? As an only child, I was used to it being about me. I'm an only child. Christmas came, who were the toys bought for? Me. Tree was put up. Who was the tree put up for? Me. When I woke up at 4:30 in the morning to open my toys and to see what Santa had brought, who was it there for? Me. When I went to church, only children, is everybody still with me? All the only children, they tried, didn't they? I'm expecting amens from the only kids, all right? I'm really needing help. So everything was about me. I'm not working this morning, so somebody up front going to have to help. There it is. It's all about me. Amen? Boy, that was weak. So everything that happens was totally and completely about me. And then I got married. And who is it about? Mary Lynn. Amen. Although some of the women are going, no, it's still about him. So everything was about her. Is that the way it's supposed to be? And then we had Lindsay. So the first child came along. Who's it about? Lindsay. In fact, every time we had a kid, it became less about me and it became more about them. So when I wanted to go buy something new, and we had X number of dollars at the house to buy something with, who did the money get spent on? Them. Here was the pecking order. Y'all ready for this? The girls, Mary Lynn, the cat, the in-laws, the outlaws, and then finally, the David. But it's supposed to be all about me, right? Amen. See, that gets you, they haven't learned yet. Every amen gets you out about a minute earlier. Quietness makes you stay longer. If you'll tell the second service that, they'll be happier. And so most of y'all going to Sunday school, so you don't care. But I mean, but for the second service, they want to get out at 12. They don't ever get out at 12 because they're quiet. They ever learn to say amen, they'll get out by 10 till every Sunday. Y'all pass that on to them, will you? And so think about it. It changed in my life to such a level that it went from it's all about me, which weren't supposed to be, right? I mean, come on. Amen. Supposed to be. Till it's all about them. And then Gracie came along. You okay over here? You and Mama having a moment. Hey, looks like you and Mama having a moment. Oh, that didn't. I'm leaving. I'm glad I wasn't over there. And then it became all about Gracie. So now you got the new pecking order. Gracie, Lindsay, Cindy, Mary Lynn, the in-laws, the outlaws, Linus the cat, who's now 15, the new house, and then David. Love's not jealous or envious, doesn't want its own way. But it's about me, right? Well, then we have another issue. We're going to work on the clicker. Somebody click me up to the next screen up there. We're not working. Thank you so much. I'm going to put this down. I'll just let you help me. Father, I pray my child does not hold a grudge against anybody today. That is 1 Corinthians 4:16. Well, then we struggle with this. Who teaches people to hold grudges? Where do children learn how to hold a grudge? Parents. Or people, places, school, people, other places. People teach them to learn how to hold a grudge, right? Well, one of the valued lessons of parenthood is to learn not to hold a grudge yourself. Never to be grudge-filled. There's no such word as that, by the way. I came up with it just for this sermon. But never to be grudge-filled. To always be in a way that you see yourself is it's not all about me. And because if it becomes about you, then grudges are easy. If it's about another person, so think about Christianity. Before you accept Christ as Savior, the mission of the church, what do we say the mission of this church is? I'm going to put Sarah on the spot. Sarah, what's the mission of this church?
Tell me.
Yeah, you. What's the mission of the church? What do you think?
Open minds, open hearts. Open
mind, open hearts, open doors. That's part of our mission, right? Open minds, open hearts, open doors for? Others. Lead people to Christ for the transformation of the world, right? Is that our job? Is that what we do? Well, if we do that, we can't have it's about me. See, Christianity is this strange thing. It's all about you till we tell you, till you believe in Christ. And then when you believe in Christ, it's about you being discipled, but then it's about you telling others about Christ so they can believe in Jesus. See, we learn to give away ourselves, so hence it ceases being about us and it becomes about the people we're trying to give Jesus to. Because we have this strange way of doing things in Christianity is that the more that we get from God, the more we're supposed to give away. Right? Right? Amen? Y'all aren't excited this morning, I can tell. So think about through this. So as I'm trying to be a stronger Christian, as I'm wanting to be a better called Christ-like person, one of my first goals in being Christ-like is to learn that it's not about me, that I shouldn't hold a grudge, and that I need to give away the love of God to everybody, especially to those who don't know Christ as their Savior. So I have this way of being sent. When's the last time y'all read Jonah? Y'all spend a lot of time in Jonah. Jonah has nothing to do with 1 Corinthians, right? Actually, it has everything to do with 1 Corinthians. When's the last time you spent time in Jonah? Well, remember Jonah the whale? Remember the fish? Y'all remember this story, right? Somebody please shake your head. Yes, we remember this story. All right, we're going to go longer now until. Jonah was supposed to go to where? Y'all remember? Nineveh, right? And he decides not to go to Nineveh, so he hops on a boat, heads in what direction? The opposite direction where he's supposed to go. On the boat, heading towards Nineveh, storm comes up, things go bad, sailors are trying to figure out, they're worried about light dying. So the sailors begin to ask, well, what's causing this? And we find out in the story of Jonah that he says to them, I'm the reason y'all in the storm. We're in a storm because I'm going the wrong way. I'm not going the right, but this is the shortest version of Jonah you'll ever hear. Trust me, it's a longer version of this if you listen to it. I'm going the wrong way. And so the best way to stop the storm, you remember the story, is to toss me overboard. And the moment the sailors decide, well, we don't want to die, so we're getting the fellow out of here, and they don't make him walk the plank, thank the Lord, but they toss him overboard. And right when he hits the water, what happens to the sea? Calms down. Well, the big fish gets him. Now, we say whale. You know, you go with how you want to. I personally think God created a specific animal for this moment, but whatever. We can do a sermon series on that down the road. The big fish gets him. He's in the fish. Praise to God. Don't want to go. But eventually, he ends up being spit up on dry land, running towards Nineveh. He goes to Nineveh, and he preaches exactly what God tells him to preach, which, by the way, in case you got to read that story, he never wants to preach what he's supposed to preach. Have you ever noticed that? He never wants to do it, but he preaches it. The entire city, read the scripture, believes in God, and Jonah gets mad. Now, you would think, boy, if we came here, we had revival, everybody gets saved, church is full, place is bursting at the seams, things are going great, everybody's coming in, can't hold everybody, can't figure out what to do with everybody, everybody be happy, right? Oh, don't kid yourself. There'd be a few people mad as wit leather. If you haven't been mad as wit leather, that's an old Alabama say. You have to go back and figure that one out. Because it's too full. And Lord help, somebody got my seat. So what does Jonah do? He goes through town after they've all accepted Christ. He sits on the other end of town and he starts pouting. Because everybody believed in Christ. And he don't want those people believing in Christ because he don't like them. And help, we don't want somebody we don't like to believe in Jesus. Amen? Go read the story. I dare you to go read Jonah and find this is not a correct translation, even though it's done in 5 minutes. So you get the other side of the story, and he's out there pouting, and then God gives him a bush for shade, and the bush grows, and he's sitting underneath the shade, complaining and whining. And what does God do to the bush the next day? Kills the bush. And now Jonah's out there in the sunshine, dying of heat exhaustion. See what you did to me, God? You sent me all the way over here to these daggum people. Daggum's a theological term. Sent me over here to these daggum people. You told me to tell them about you, and they accept you as Lord and Savior. Now they've accepted you. You gave me a bush in it, and now you're making me sit out in the hot sun, and I'm the one being punished because these people should have been the ones punished, and it's all your fault. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, even the person you don't like accepting Jesus. Whoa. Really? Whoever's picking for me, go to the next slide. Real love is always sacrificial love. I want that to sink a minute before we finish. Real love never comes cheap. By the way, they're going to fix the batch screen for choir in the morning. At the second service, the people in the choir are looking at the batch screen. They can't read a word that's going on, but we know there's a problem. They're going to fix it, so it's going to be fine for second service. Y'all be okay. Really, that's why I did this. Real love, always sacrificial. So when it became all about Mary Lynn, I had to give up some stuff. When it became all about the church, when I quit doing counseling and became a pastor, I had to stop doing some stuff. When we got moved to Sneedville, Tennessee, you ever been to Sneedville? Anybody ever lived in Sneedville? Amen. It's a beautiful place. Our first circuit was 4 churches on the Sneedville, in Sneedville, Tennessee. One of those churches was in Virginia. 2 of them had paved roads. 1 of them had a bathroom that actually had water. The rest of them had outhouses. Y'all have used outhouses, amen? They work, except when the snakes are in them. That's another sermon. So think of the process. You go with a 4-month-old baby to Sneeble instead of having the counseling practice that you were comfortable with. So you go from $100,000 a year to $6,418 a year. Next time y'all complain about a pay cut, just think about that one. That's what Mary Lynn and I went from. Because that's what Sneeble paid. Why? Because the work of God is always sacrificial. It never ceases to be sacrificial. And if you want to understand that, let's do one last story on what we call Good Friday. Jesus the Christ, who could have called 10,000 angels, chose to go on a cross, chose to hang on a cross. He chose to be beaten with a cat of nine tails. He chose to have a crown put in his forehead and on his head. He chose to hang up there and die for us. Real love is always sacrificial love. It's never anything but that. So if you think to yourself, well, I've got to do this to love that person, and it's going to cost me this, whatever this is. I don't know what this is in your situation. If it's sacrificial, real love is always sacrificial love. Mother Teresa once said that her only regret was she didn't sacrifice herself enough in serving her Lord and Savior. If you want to read Mother Teresa's story, you ought to go back and read that. It's a fabulous story. Real love is sacrificial love. So the question becomes, what is God calling us? See, this can't be one of those preacher things. I don't get to do this. I'd like to do it, okay? But I don't get to do this. I don't get to say, what is God calling y'all to do? The question is, what is God calling us to do? Because real love requires sacrifice. It always has. It always will. My Uncle Bobby served on the Kitty Hawk in Vietnam. Three tours of duty on the Kitty Hawk. Was on the boat when it was attacked, supposedly by the North Vietnamese. All the officers were killed, and Uncle Bobby was the chief petty officer. He was standing by three of the officers when they were killed as the boat was being attacked. Now, Uncle Bobby is the chief petty officer who had been shot twice, became the captain of the boat and brought the Kitty Hawk back so it could be taken care of. I don't know all the story. I just know the limits of what he told me before he died. Now, he lived 20 years after that, but he used to tell some of the story, as much as he could. The point of it is, we are only called to do what God did through His Son, Jesus Christ, to sacrifice ourselves for love of the people around us. Let me read it to you one more time, then we'll finish. Love does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Do you hear it? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ give you the ability to have the sacrificial love God has given you this day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.